Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Grand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the guest hotline that is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, Big Z.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I got to tell you, that was the worst one. And we've decided that we're going to call that the worst loss of the year. And there's plenty to choose from. And the last time we saw the Bears on the field, it was a pretty bad loss against the Steelers. But goodness gracious, that was really just a difficult game to watch. To see the Bears not score and then suddenly pull one out of their hats on 4th and 11 and win the game, only to see the defense let a novice quarterback march down the field, 5 plays, 72 yards, and lose. So it was about as depressing a game as you can watch, a bad football game with some bad play at the end.
Well, how do you feel about Lions quarterback Tim Boyle, Molly?
I said that too.
The Bears could be fishing.
That sounds like a guy I grew up with on the South. That's a South Side name, Tim Boyle. Mike Mulligan and Tim Boyle were arrested on Tuesday.
Didn't he play basketball at Northwestern? Was that?
Oh. Yeah. Boyle and Stack back at St. Lawrence in the day. I like it.
You know, back-to-back weeks, the defense has melted down in the final 2 minutes, final minute against, a shell of Ben Roethlisberger's former self, and against Tyler Huntley, a guy who entered the league undrafted, and prior to yesterday's game had 11 career pass attempts in the NFL. The Ravens were without their number one wide receiver yesterday. They've been without their premier left tackle for quite a while. They started the season down 3 running backs. So defensively, it was just terrible. I mean, completely unacceptable. And they had played well to that point. They had gotten 6 sacks. You know, they had put pressure on this guy. The only thing they hadn't really done was force him into a slew of turnovers. Tayshaun Gibson had the one nice interception. So to lose a game in that fashion again after allowing the Steelers to drive for a game-winning field goal the previous time out is just gut-wrenching. But to spend more than just a little bit of time going over what's wrong on defense and why they continue to have breakdowns and communication errors at critical points in the game would be a waste of time, because this football team can't put the ball in the end zone. The Bears are 29th in the league in scoring, averaging 16.3 points per game. If you gave them a touchdown and a two-point conversion onto their average, they still wouldn't be in the top 15 in the league in scoring. So they're just miles and miles away, and it's the same story. They've changed quarterbacks. They've changed offensive coordinators. They've changed play callers. They've changed offensive line coach. They still can't score.
All right, Brad, let's look at the news of the day. What do you know is the latest about Justin Fields and his rib injury, and how do you expect the Bears to approach his status heading into Thursday's game in Detroit?
Well, it sounds like they avoided anything super serious. We saw Rob Gronkowski was on the shelf for a mighty long time, or has been on the shelf for a mighty long time with rib injuries, and so – You never know the extent of those until you get them fully checked out. But on a short week, with the Bears having to get on a plane in a little more than 48 hours to head over to Detroit, I think it would probably be difficult for him to rally and come back. I think he's a tough customer. I think he displayed that when he was at Ohio State. I think we've already seen bits of that here with the Bears. But I'm not sure it would be real prudent to try to rush him back out there if he's not close to 100%.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Bet Rivers is, of course, my sports book, and I am eyeballing this game on Thursday because I think there could be an opportunity here, and it's not to trust the Bears. I think that the Lions have come close to winning some games. We mentioned earlier, they're the hotter team because they have a draw. And I'm going to be keeping a close eye on that one because I got very little faith in the Bears. They can't score, and they blow leads late in games. I don't know how everyone's not running
the Bet
Rivers.
They don't play with any composure.
Yeah. None.
Well, the coach was overwhelmed by the moment and blowing through the timeouts in the fourth quarter. Again, if you spend too much time breaking that down and how they actually should have handled the situation and how an experienced team that was savvy wouldn't need a timeout to figure out, hey, 4+1 or 4+2, yeah, let's go for 2 here. You waste too much time on that. You've taken yourself away from the fact that this offense simply cannot score points. They were shut out in the first half yesterday for, I believe, that it was the 7th time in the Matt Nagy era. I mean, getting a touchdown is really difficult. And you look at how they did score. The Ravens didn't tackle on a bubble screen that goes for 60. And then credit the Bears. They picked up a cover zero blitz. And Marquise Goodwin gets free with a double move downfield on 4th and 11. It's not like the Bears out-schemed Don Martindale and the Ravens there, really. With Lamar Jackson not playing was a holiday gift to arrive extra early at Soldier Field, and these guys just blew it. And they should be 5-5 right now, which I wouldn't have any faith that they were headed anywhere, really, if they were at 500. But they're 3-7. They've dropped 5 in a row. And if they can't find a way to beat the Lions, and the Lions have been good to the Bears on Thanksgiving the last couple visits, I don't know where this losing streak is going to end, guys. I mean, after that, you got Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals coming in. Who thinks the Bears are prepared to go out and beat Arizona?
All right, Brad, so we know the Bears don't create a culture of accountability. And I know you scoffed at me last week when I called for some accountability with the other guy. But what do they do about Kendall Vildor? We're not revisiting that. I'm not cutting Kendall Vildor. I might consider benching him.
Yeah, I
might consider looking at that final series, and they picked on him 2 in a row, and it wasn't like this guy's having a great season. He's a problem. What do you do about it?
Yeah, no, he's really hasn't covered himself in glory here of late. I believe he's got 4 pass interference penalties against him since week 7. including one that the Steelers actually declined the previous timeout. Two PI calls in the game yesterday, right after the pass interference on Bateman, where he just panicked there with about a minute and a half to play. He doesn't use proper technique, and Devin Duvernay gets wide open on a wheel route for, what was that, 21, 22 yards? And just like that, boom, boom, you got a DPI call and poor coverage against Duvernay, and the Ravens are – the clock's no longer an issue. The Ravens chasing, and they're first and 10 at the Bears' 30-yard line. So I think you got to look at it and say – does Artie Burns, the former first-round draft pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers, have anything that he can give them? I don't know. I wouldn't expect anything good, really, from Artie Burns, but Kendall Vildor has struggled, and we've identified a position where this team is going to have to go out and get a guy that they can pair up with Jalen Johnson next year. And I think nickel cornerback's going to remain an issue as well. They haven't been good there really all season either.
I mean, how bad can Artie Burns be? I'm just saying.
Well, he can be pretty bad. I mean,
I got it.
Bad.
But if you got him on the inactive list, this is my point. I don't know what you're looking for. Brad, this is not the first time. As we said, this is a couple of games running. And I think the problem with the late meltdowns and the problem with, what did you write, 94 points in the fourth quarter, the problem is it takes away from the larger picture of this team failing to do anything on offense, failing to score points on offense. And, they spent the bye week. Is this what it was? Oh, we've got Jakeem Grant. Listen, let's run some plays for it. Is that what they did on the bye week? They just tried to come up with more clever ways to fool someone as opposed to trying to I think Jakeem Grant got more carries than Khalil Herbert.
Yeah, and they didn't run the ball real well yesterday either. The Ravens' defense is solid. This is nothing like we've seen from the Ravens defense before. And what was frustrating is that first drive, they start out on their own 14, and they pretty quickly, they're down relatively deep in Baltimore territory. And then you just have, I think Olin talked about it with you guys at length, some confusing play selections there. And that run to the short side of the field to Montgomery on third and five was a real head scratcher. The Ravens were able to blow that up with a blitz, and then they missed the field goal. You got a chance to take an early lead against an unproven quarterback who's on the road, and it didn't materialize. And Baltimore was without its nose tackle. They were down two of their top three corners. The Ravens are missing a starting safety. I mean, there were opportunities to go out there and make plays, but this is the same old story. They can't score. It was Trubisky's fault, right? And I'm not saying that Mitch got scapegoated, because it was time to move on. It was time to continue the search for the franchise quarterback. But there was this belief that they swapped out quarterbacks and everything would be better. What they tried that during last season with Nick Foles, and he was terrible. So eventually something bigger is going to have to change here, and you have to imagine that's in the not too distant future.
Explain not targeting Cole Kmet more in the first half after the breakthrough supposed game he had against the Steelers. Ignored, neglected. Was he just used too often as a pass protector, Brad? Or how do you explain ignoring a guy who was starting to feel it and getting more involved in the offense?
Yeah, I mean, with Allen Robinson sidelined with the hamstring, guys, that's one of the things that's unexplainable with the Bears offense. And I think that's something that everyone needs to accept. There are some things that you just really can't explain. what in the world are they doing with Jimmy Graham? I think he had 11 snaps yesterday. If I'm George McCaskey, I want some real answers why I need that much money for a guy who's just a very small role player, right? I mean, barely gets out there. I wish I could give you an answer for Cole Kmet. I'd just be making something up. You know, it's not working. You target Darnell Mooney 16 times, you ought to have more than five catches, but this thing isn't working right. Justin Fields didn't play well when he was out there yesterday, and that's frustrating from the standpoint that the hope was that they would be able to kind of pick up where they left off at Pittsburgh, and we all know that it's not a linear line from one week to the next, and there's going to be peaks and valleys with a rookie quarterback in the National Football League. But I think it's frustrating because it all comes back to the same thing week after week, that they can't score. They got a season-high 27 at Pittsburgh. Seven of it came on special teams. They've topped 20 points, I think, two other times this season. 13 isn't going to get it done. In the defensive effort yesterday, even with the terrible performance in the final 2 minutes, should have been good enough for the Bears to leave with a win. That's a really good Baltimore rushing offense that was missing, the trigger man in Lamar Jackson. But the Ravens had 34 carries for 123 yards. I mentioned the six sacks, 3.5 by Robert Quinn. He's got 10 on the season right now. I mean, credit to that guy for busting his ass for a team that's going nowhere. Too many breakdowns at the end, and they lose. It was enough to win, but they can't score. They're just so awfully handicapped on offense.
We'll let you go, Brad, and appreciate your time. Just very quickly, if you could, can you tell us what the schedule looks like this week? When will they make a decision on the quarterback? Obviously, if he's got cracked ribs or broken ribs, it's a different deal. If they're bruised and if his spleen is okay, there might be an outside chance. What's the schedule look like?
Well, I mean, Matt Nagy will talk a little bit later on today at House Hall. Given his track record lately of saying literally nothing about guys with any injuries, I mean, Khalil Mack's out for the season, and he won't even say anything about that. I'd expect next to nothing from him. They'll have a walkthrough on Tuesday at Hallis Hall, and then they've got to release a final injury report prior to the game on Wednesday. Typically, it happens Friday for Sunday games. When you play on Thursday, that injury report comes out on Wednesday. So we'll have a little better indication by then, and they'll have to give us an estimated practice report before then. So we'll get an eye on the field situation before Thursday. But with that kind of injury short week, it could be Andy Dalton for your Thanksgiving morning.
Great stuff, Brad, as always. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
You too.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Tribune. You're listening to Mully and Haw. We're waiting for your calls. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Let's talk it through. What does this Thursday game mean? Obviously, David, I think it means a short week. You can't really do anything in terms of moving people around, maybe taking someone down. But, man, it's a rough one.
Also, Matt Nagy was asked about his job security earlier this morning on WBBM. We'll have that sound next.
Smalley and Hall on the screen.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Got to ask, you know, you got another long losing streak. You got some fans chanting for you to be fired in the stands. How's that affect morale of the players? Are players, maybe coaches, coaching for their jobs, including yourself? How do you feel about all that?
You know, all we're doing right now is we're doing everything we can to get ready for this Detroit game. That's it. That's our focus. And, you know, when you're in this building and you're in here and you're working hard every day to do everything you can to stick together, keep fighting, you're right. You know, it is difficult when you lose and when you are losing. But that's our job, is to make sure that we stay focused. And that's what we're doing.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. God, Pat Cassidy is just awesome. That was Matt Nagy this morning on WBBM. And you know, the veteran newsman not pulling punches wants to know a very legitimate question for a guy that is, he's got to be under fire. They've lost five consecutive games. And just to remind everyone, 2019, four in a row.
Yep.
2020, it was, what was it, six in a row?
Six in a row.
Thus far, five in a row.
Five and counting. Yeah, thank you, Pat Cassidy, the Velvet Hammer, bringing it down. Asking the right question. It's not an unfair question, and nobody's trying to make anybody feel uncomfortable. It is the reality of professional sports. Matt Nagy's in year four, and this has happened for the third season in a row. And you have to question the direction of everything. So let's hope the Bears are showing the same kind of scrutiny, if not the response, but certainly they have to be concerned. Mully, they can't ignore this, right? I mean, this is headed in the right in the wrong direction, and everybody understands what's going on here. This is just a fact of life in professional sports. It's not necessarily being negative. It's being realistic.
Yeah, and you know, listen, you might be able to kind of come away with everyone saying, you know, hey, there's COVID. We lost six in a row, but we did back into the playoffs because they expanded them. You know, we're pleased with what's happening. We're going to keep at it. We're going to keep fighting. And then you have what's happened this year. And it's just pretty much everything heading in the wrong direction. And you're coming off what was the most difficult loss of the year. And I don't know, you know, the crowd is letting management know how they feel. Mm-hmm. And that chant started before the 4th and 11. People were upset. And then the Bears come back and it looks like they're going to win, and you're kind of like, wow, well, there, that changes the narrative. Can you believe this is – what did they just do? How did they let them just roll down the field? Five plays, 72 yards from a guy that that was just – you know, Tyler Huntley, undrafted free agent, second year. It's just, I mean, it's just – it's impossible to kind of sit there and figure out how bad they are and how they let that happen and how can you lose that game. It's just mind-boggling.
It's not even that they're losing these games, especially yesterday. It's how they're losing these games. It's how they lost yesterday that I think is what makes it particularly hard to accept. If you are a football fan, if you watch a lot of NFL games, if you watch a lot of college football, heck, you need to see an extension of the head coach on the field. And unfortunately, the only connection we can make is that head coach loses composure, team blows lead, because team loses composure. This is not a well-coached team. They don't have the symptoms of a well-coached team. They commit too many silly penalties. They make too many curious calls on key downs offensively, and defensively they can't hold things together, and there's miscommunication. There was also a 12 men on the field penalty. These are things you can't let happen in year four. If it's a first-year coach, you might chalk it up to transition and all these other things, but not in the fourth year of a head coach's regime, certainly not in the seventh year of a general manager's tenure. You need to look at signs of progress, and right now they're too few and far between.
312-644-6767. I'd be curious to hear from someone that wanted to get that message out to ownership. I'd like to know if that's what you were trying to do. And you know, really kind of circling around Nagy, is that the wisest thing to do? Do the issues that trouble this team go much higher than that? And how do you make that known? It's a very interesting idea. You know, what you don't want is some sort of sacrificial lamb here. You want to make sure that whatever it is that's wrong is dealt with.
Well, I don't think that you can separate them, Mully. And I think it's fair that you have, you know, offered that chance to distinguish one from the other. But really, objectively, how can you? Because aren't they tied together? Aren't their futures tied together? We don't know what their contract status is because they have protected that under lock and key. But don't you think that's irrelevant as a detail? Because when you talk about moving on, when you talk about making progress, you've got to change the person picking the players, and you've got to change the coach, you know, calling and executing or putting together the game plans. Because right now they're married philosophically, and they have been in step strategically. So if you're going to get rid of one, don't you have to get rid of both?
312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
The BetQL network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
Joe is in St. Charles. Good morning, Joe.
Hi, guys. My weekly Monday. Anyway, it's easy to look in retrospect, but I think if you do, Andy Reid didn't even trust this guy to call plays. And I have a feeling this was they hired an incompetent to begin with.
See, Joe, I don't totally agree, because I think that 2018 was a very special year. It was. It was a fun year. We celebrated Matt Nagy's arrival. He made some changes. The offense was, for a while, fixed. And for a half season, what a glorious half season that was, Mully. But that was a year where if, you know, they kick a field goal, it's a different scenario. We're having a different conversation. So 2018 was worth bringing Matt Nagy to Chicago. The problem is he never built off that. The momentum stopped, and the offense never got better or improved for whatever reason, and they are multiple, but there are a ton of them, but it never got better after 2018. But 2018 was a pretty good year.
Yeah, the defense was really good in 2018. I will give you that.
That's true.
We have an 815 texter checking in. Wouldn't it be best if they just lose out? It would be best for the New York Giants, right? Because they don't have a first-round pick. Is anyone paying attention to the wheeling and dealing that's going on?
Right, right. It's a point well played. They don't have a first-round pick. I don't think they have a fourth-round pick. So they're going into next year's draft. And, oh, by the way, Mully, the people that missed yesterday's game, Allen Robinson, Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, Danny Trevathan, Eddie Jackson, those veterans tied up $55 million on the salary cap. They're not getting any younger. I know A-Rob probably won't be here. What do you do with those guys? Because you're not getting a lot of return on your sizable investment.
Well, Danny Trevathan probably won't be here, right? Akeem Hicks probably won't be here. Right. I think there's a lot of conjecture one can make about what the roster will look like. The problem is they got all this money locked into the defense, and those guys aren't there, and the defense doesn't look like it's playing well enough. And you know what? They limited a team to 16 points, and I don't want to overreact to it, but you got to wonder about Sean Desai. You just have to wonder if you hired the right defensive coordinator. I'm not being cruel. I'm just being honest about all the issues that come out of this thing.
You didn't even have to include the name. If you watched the tape, you would come to the conclusion that the Bears defensive coordinator could use some work because he's being out-schemed and he's being out-coached, and there are too many examples of breakdowns. So Sean Desai happens to be the defensive coordinator, so your point is well taken. Let me ask you this before we get back to the phone lines real quick. We've got the Lions next. The Lions example. I wonder about applying it to the Bears model. They went out and they hired Chris Spielman, former player who was in the media, who isn't an executive, isn't a guy who's necessarily, you know, you think, okay, he's done this before, but he's in a consultant's role, right? Would it behoove the Bears to consider something like that? I know it may be a meatballish thought, but they could do a lot worse than hiring somebody, Olin Cruz, Tom Thayer.
Olin yeah. can do that in his sleep. He does tell it the already. Truth. They need to listen to him.
Hire somebody to tell George McCaskey the truth. You are the truth coach. You are the truth executive, whatever. And you know what? Go from there. Start there. Start somewhere.
Let's start with Steve. He didn't talk about that. Steve Brown with Mully and Haw.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes. It's Sauganosh, yeah, beautiful neighborhood. Congratulations, Steve, living there.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I was just listening, and this is bothering me about what you guys brought up with Jimmy Graham, who's not even playing. And I just want to comment, didn't we let Kyle Fuller go to keep Jimmy Graham? Am I right on that? And
well, you know, not necessarily. Let me just finish that quick. What happened with Kyle Fuller is you kept dipping into that contract and extending that contract to pay other people, and then the bill came due. Mm-hmm. So he was owed $20 million. And they probably could have gotten there had they used the Jimmy Graham money, but they had three guys up. They had a left tackle, they had Jimmy, and they had obviously Fuller, and they decided to let Fuller go when they couldn't. You know, you can't go to a guy and renegotiate his $20 million salary when it's due. You're not going to get any break on that. Score has learned. It didn't work out, and so they just let him go. And then he called Denver and went out to Vic because he knew Vic. It was a strange one.
But it caught up to them, basically. What you're saying is Ryan Pace never got to the point where you handled that contract in a way that you were thinking long-term and maybe valuing the player, and you never got to a price where you both agreed on. And they missed Kyle Fuller, even though he hasn't had the kind of year in Denver he expected to have. They have missed that veteran presence in the secondary.
Yeah, he's still a good player, and he played really well here, so it's a pity he's gone, regardless of how his career is going. We've got to get to Dustin. We're staying with the phone calls, 312-644-6767. We're going to get to all your phone calls.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. I mean, it's out there, and it happened, and that's real, man. But it's also cruel to keep going back to that. What are you going to do? We got to get to the phone lines. A lot of people want to check in. 312-644-6767. Daryl is in Evanston. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, guys. I don't know where to start, but I got to start. I'm a longtime Bear fan. Go to every game. Go bring my heart there. And when I come home, I'm aggravated. The fourth down and one debacle yesterday. Oh, I almost went to catch a matinee after that one. I mean, we don't know what we want to do. We don't have a fourth and one play. We call a timeout. We burn a timeout. We come back to the Wildcat, and we can't go get fourth and one. The only fourth and one play we have is the play action bomb that we should have, that we executed earlier, that we kind of should have went back to because we just missed the pass. It was just disgusting, and the lack of use of the tight end is, I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. Every good team out there, every medium team out there uses the tight end, and not only features them, but they use the tight end as part of the offense. So that's my disgusting with the calls and the playmaking yesterday. But the real issue, guys, is the top 10. And I just jumped on. I heard this. The top 10 guys were taking up 70% of our salary cap. Khalil Mack, nice player, doesn't play. He's done. Dalton and Foles, I understand. You needed both of them to back up. You got a lot of money tacked into that. Get rid of one. Allen Robinson, he doesn't want to be here since he signed that one-year deal. Danny Trevathan, since he went to number 6, I haven't seen much of him. Hicks doesn't play. Jackson is out. So out of the top 10, you got 3 guys. Cody Whitehair is playing nice. Quinn, who showed up yesterday. And Eddie Goldman, who stops by every once in a while. That's the problem. Is there a way we can get rid of 3/4 of that, load up on the offensive line, and maybe win a game 35-34 or something like that? But I don't know what to do. Maybe talk to me off the ledge, guys.
Well,
good summation, Daryl. I think the next regime will have their hands full with the salary cap issues that Ryan Pace has created, Mully. And as for Daryl's suggestion on fourth down, what's wrong with the punt?
Yeah, the punt would have been the play there. If you were going to go for it, you should have had 2 plays called, and you should have known that if you didn't get this play, here comes the second. And instead, you have a little wiring crossed, and so you got to call a timeout. Come on. That was sideline panic at its best. Let's try Dave. He's in Woodridge. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave. David and Mike, there is no question that your analysis of what's going wrong with the Bears is spot on. Nobody can argue with that. And I hear the cries, and I join them in wanting to fire Nagy and take care of that issue. My question for you guys, this is a legitimate question. Given the Bears' management history, remember, this is the management that fired Lovie Smith that had consistently winning records. This is the management that hired Phil Emery and Mark Trestman. This is the management that allowed the Ryan Pace regime to blow first-round pick after first-round pick. You fire Pace, you fire Nagy. What makes you think that the management's going to get it right going forward?
It's a fair question, and I don't have the answer that would fill you with any confidence. I think skepticism is appropriate and it is well earned. The only thing I could point to in Chicago as a sports fan, as an observer, Mully, the Bulls, they were pretty much in a similar situation. No confidence in their regime. Gar Pax had all the scrutiny and all the negativity surrounding it. It was a toxic atmosphere from the fan standpoint. Nobody knew who Arturis Karnišovas was, really, before he came to town. He fixed things with the Bulls. I don't know who that guy is for the Bears, and I don't have much confidence in their ability to find him, but I do think it's possible.
Yeah, I think it's a really crummy reason that people keep their jobs. The idea that you need Ryan Pace to hire a coach because Ted and George brought you Phil Emery and Mark Trestman.
Right.
I mean... Because the upper ups are incompetent, the middle management incompetence is allowed. That's what you're saying when you say that.
You're right. when you are dealing with logic, you hope that you're not in a position where you're using one bad decision to justify another. And I think when you're saying what you just described, that's exactly what you're doing. You're saying, well, basically, these guys made bad calls before, so what makes you think that you trust them to make a good call now? So let's let them make another bad call or continue to see where this bad decision leads them. We already know where this is headed. Year 7 for the general manager. Year 4 for the head coach. They're not full of many surprises right now, guys. Anybody expecting something to change by doing things the same way? That's not going to happen. Be realistic.
Oh, boy. Tim is in Milwaukee. Tim, sorry about everything going on in Milwaukee. I hope everyone's well.
Yeah, we're doing the best we can. Unfortunately, these things are popping up, it seems like, all over the country. And, you know, maybe someday we'll be able to come to our senses. But anyway, the distraction from all that is watching football, I guess, for a while. But they decide, hopefully, to pull the plug on Pace here. When does that process have to start? I mean, when can they start? With the draft coming up and preparing for a new regime, new staff, when do you do that? When's the best time to get that process going?
Well, they could start doing research now. I don't think they're going to pull the plug until the end of the season if history is an indicator. But typically, when you have a new general manager hired, Mully, when you hire a new head coach, it's by mid-January. You have both guys in place. It happens very fast. Life comes at you fast once the season is over. They can start the process of doing some research now behind the scenes. But I think that when you have a two-week window, probably after the season is over, when you want to get everybody in place.
You know, if you don't have a list already, after what happened last year,
you should
have all that already done, frankly, David. You should have, you know, a list in the drawer that you can go through. Dan is listening downtown. We'll close it out with Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Further to what the last caller said, I mean, if they lose on Thursday and you can't fire Nagy and then leave Pace around. And if you fire both, you have nobody in the organization. I don't even know who would coach the team. It's not like you have any assistant coaches that you could step up. Chris Tabor of the punt block scheme doesn't seem like he's qualified. And Mike Pettine is coached, but now you're going to make him Sean Desai's boss. And who's running the organization if you fire Pace and Nagy? I just don't know if you have a coaching staff if you fire them.
Yeah, I think you do. I don't think it's as complicated as you're describing it. I understand, because it's not been done before, why you might ask those questions, Mully. But you know what? Bill Lazor could be a head coach. Any guys, there's about two or three guys on the staff that could take over. And as for the front office, you remove one guy, somebody else could be on an interim basis. It happens in pro sports. It's not as complicated if you're committed to that kind of change.
Pettine could do it in his sleep. He's done it before. You could leave everyone in their role and pop him up, and if Sean Desai doesn't like it, what's he going to say? 312-644-6767. I'm sure Dan and Layla are going to get to all your calls. Unfortunately, we ran out of time, and we apologize. We will talk to Dan and Layla next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.